Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. We welcome you to First Christian Church today. We're so glad you've chosen to worship here with us today on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad that you are here inside of our sanctuary. Welcome our friends who are joining us live this morning on Facebook Live, and also if you're watching through our church website, we're glad that you are virtually here inside of our sanctuary for worship on this beautiful day. As we've come into church today, you're invited to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in the main doors this morning. On the right-hand side, you'll find our tear-off sheet that says connect at the very top. And so we hope that you will tear it off now and connect with us by letting us know that you were here with us in worship this morning. You can also jot down prayer concerns or things that you're giving thanks and praise to God for on the backside. You can also tick one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about how you can grow in your own life and faith here through our congregation. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that our deacons will pass later on in our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us online, you're invited to go to our church website. That is burlingtondoc.org. You can download a copy of today's worship bulletin. We would love it if you would do so, so you could follow along with us from wherever you find yourself today. If you go to the backside of your bulletin, for those of us here in the sanctuary, you see things that are happening in the life of our congregation. We are looking forward to our annual all-church picnic coming up on Sunday, July the 7th. We're going to have one worship service on that day at 10:30 a.m. It's going to be outside. We're going to have a little outside worship service and then have a little potluck lunch and kind of supper after that. And so we hope that it doesn't rain like it kind of poured down rain all morning long last year. But we're good folks, and we were dry in the front, even though y'all were wet, but we had a good time together. At least on our end, we had a good time together. And so you can sign up if you'd like to come. There's a little sign-up sheet on the left-hand side on the table there by the coffee. You can sign up to come after church today. Today is another Sunday in our new summertime Sunday school class. We are studying the scriptures that I'm preaching from on Sunday morning. And so we're going to be meeting in room 7 at 9:30 to be talking about the passage from today. So if you want to kind of learn more about behind the scenes from today's scripture passage, we would love it if you've come to this new Sunday school class later on this morning. You see the note in the bulletin that our library committee has a summertime reading challenge for us. We are invited to read one fiction book and one nonfiction book out of our church library. And if you complete this challenge, there is an ice cream party to come for you in the fall. They did this last summer to a rousing success, and lots of folks enjoyed the ice cream party. And so we hope that you will come and be a part of this reading challenge all summer long. Lastly, maybe you noticed that when you pulled up, there was a lovely dumpster sitting outside the church, kind of outside the Fellowship Hall. We're very excited that our renovations are going to begin in earnest for our Fellowship Hall and kitchen starting tomorrow. And so we pray that you continue to pray for our church during these exciting times. We'll certainly be keeping you up to date with pictures in the church newsletter and pictures online and announcements and all kind of good words here during worship. And so exciting times in the life of our church together.
Will you please join me in our call to worship? God's love for us is great. God is like a loving parent who watches over us. God's mercy for us is great. God reaches out to us in healing, patience, and peace. Praise be to God who has called us here. Praise be to God whose love and mercy is given to us. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Our opening hymn this morning is Morning Has Broken.
The first bird.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for bringing us all together to worship as one body of Christ. Allow us to share your words we hear today with someone else this week. Allow us to bring them joy in getting to know you better. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." After leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace. Be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" May God bless this reading of God's holy word. I'd like to invite our children to come forward for a children's message with Pastor Annika.
Good morning. How are you all doing? That's great. Well, this morning I brought a little red bag with me. It's smooth. What do you think's in it? Marbles? It sounds kind of like there could be marbles in it. Rocks? Well, let's take a look. Yeah, five rocks. Let's see. Why would I have brought five rocks with me today? To show what we love? Good idea. Today, I'm going to tell you a story that I'm sure you've probably heard. But in the Bible, there's a story about a boy named David, and he fought and killed a giant named Goliath. Now, Goliath was a mighty warrior who was more than 9 feet tall. He was protected from head to toe in a suit full of armor made of bronze. His armor alone weighed more than 100 pounds, and he was armed with a sword and a spear. David, on the other hand, was a young shepherd's boy. He had no armor for protection, and it would have been much too heavy for him to carry. And how about a sword or spear? Nope. David's weapon was a sling, and his ammunition was 5 smooth stones, which he picked up from a nearby stream. And yet, David was able to defeat the giant that all of the soldiers of the Israelite army were afraid to face. You and I may never face a giant such as Goliath, but we face giants of other kinds in our daily life. We face giants such as fear, insecurity, loneliness, and failures.
And how do we overcome those giants that want to defeat us? Well, these five stones can help us. The first stone, do you know what that word is? Courage. Does that say courage? Why don't you go ahead and hold on to that? So courage. David was not afraid to face the enemy. Don't worry about a thing, David told Saul. I'll go fight the Philistine. It takes courage to fight the giants you will face in your life. The second stone represents confidence, right? As a shepherd, David often had to protect sheep from wild animals. They gave him confidence he needed to face the giant. The Lord who saved me from the claws of the lion and the bear will save me from the Philistine. The next word is preparation. David didn't go to face the giant unprepared. He went down to the stream and picked out five smooth stones and put them in his shepherd's bag. Then, armed with the shepherd's staff and sling, he started out to fight Goliath. It is important for you to do everything possible to be certain you are prepared to face the challenges you will meet in your daily life. The fourth stone represents trust. Very good. David did not trust his own ability to slay the giant. When Goliath shouted at David, he cursed him, and he was ready to kill him. David said, "You come to me with a sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty." When you face your problems, put your trust in God, not in your own ability. And the fifth stone represents victory. It is a battle of God's, not ours. David said this is why David was able to win the victory over the giant with only a stone and a sling. When you turn your battles over to God, you will have the victory over the giants in your life. So next time you are facing a giant in your life, I want you to remember the story of David and Goliath and the five smooth stones. Let's pray. Dear Lord, allow us to be like David. Give us the courage, confidence, and trust we need to be better children of God. Be with us this week as we face those giants, because with your help, we can defeat each and every one of them. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hear the only parable of Jesus not found in any other of the Gospels, the parable of the growing seed. In this parable, Jesus compares the realm of God to someone scattering seed, which grows as the sower sleeps and works. The sower recognizes that the grain will not grow unless it is first scattered by the farmer. We realize we have the opportunity to be like that farmer as it comes to our time of bringing our gifts to offer them to God. We don't know how God multiplies these gifts, but we know that he does. Let us now bring our financial gifts to God that they may become the seeds which will grow into a mighty harvest. The deacons will now collect the offering. Let us pray. Dear God, bless these gifts and each one who has offered them. May each dollar become healthy seeds planted in good ground to produce a 100% increase in our outcome. In your name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated.
Blessing it is for us to join together, to bring our joys, our concerns to God, and to be in God's holy presence. Let us pray. We are thankful, dear Lord, to come today and worship to you. We give thanks for each and every one of your children who worship today, those who gather here in this sanctuary, those who join us online at home or on the go, and those who worship throughout the world in places we can only imagine. You are the God of us all, near or far, alike or different. We are one human race, and you are God to us all. We pray your blessing on our brothers and sisters and siblings all over the world. Help us to care and pray for others, and not to focus too much on ourselves. We give thanks for the guidance of Scripture. And we turn to it this morning to study a story so familiar to us. We give thanks for David's faithful boldness. We pray that we would learn from his courage in the face of such odds. When others claimed that David was too young or too small, he knew that he was not alone. Remind us again and again that we are never alone either. Remind us that you are with us as our support. You fight our battles with us just as you fought with David. You are steadfast, O God, through all the challenges and hardships of life. You fill us when we are empty. You light our world when it is dark. Thank you, O God, for your steadfast presence in our lives, and may we build our lives on the firm foundation of your love. We bring before you our loved ones and church members who are in need of your healing. We lift to you those on our prayer list and pray for healing and strength, for endurance and blessing for all recovering from medical conditions. We pray for those who experience loneliness. Pray that they would feel your presence in a very real way and would find companionship in you. We lift up those who are struggling with other life concerns, broken relationships, mental wellness, issues with addiction or substances. We pray for all who are in mourning, and we pray that your love and presence would surround and comfort them. We give thanks for the many ways that you bless us, the careers that we love, the resources to live on, for those who care for and support us when we need it. We're thankful for our family, our friends, and our church family. Above all, we give thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ, for the unparalleled love that he had for all humanity, and for the leadership he gave to his disciples and left for all people. We lift up our voices to pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our second reading today comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 32 through 49. David said to Saul,
Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine.
Saul said to David,
You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth.
But David said to Saul,
Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came, he took a lamb from the flock. I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be just like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine.
Go, and may the Lord be with you.
Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them.
I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them.
So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag, in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David,
Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?
And the Philistine cursed David by his gods.
Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field.
You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand.
When the Philistine drew nearer to David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
We're continuing today with our new sermon series here in the summer called Big Stories. This summertime series is so much fun because we're going to be looking at some famous passages and famous stories that some of us may know. Like maybe we learned them back when we were in Sunday school as a kid, or maybe growing up in vacation Bible school back in the day. Maybe you learned them because you were gifted a children's Bible and it included there in there in like the Bible's greatest hits collection. Or maybe you know some of these passages, but you can't remember the where and the when. You simply just kind of know them. Regardless of the time, we're going to be spending these summer months looking again at some of these big stories and big passages in the Bible. We started out last week with the call of Samuel. And in this, we heard the Lord standing at the foot of Samuel's bed in the middle of the night, calling him to go and speak a good word on behalf of God. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Jesus going back to his hometown and what the reception is like when he gets there. We're going to look again at Psalm 23. We're going to talk again about the blessing of the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe throw in a little bit of Indiana Jones or Raiders of the Lost Ark. We're going to talk about the shortest passage in the Bible that is the favorite of everywhere children of all ages who are required to memorize scripture, Jesus wept. It's going to be a lot of fun talking about these passages together, looking at these well-loved, well-read scriptures in the Bible. And so if you miss one, you can go to our church website, you can go to our Facebook page, and you can watch again our previous Sunday morning's worship service, and you can catch up. And so this week, we get to continue on with one of my favorite old school passages, David and Goliath. And in my mind, at least, this might be the classic of all the classic stories in the Bible that I learned when I was a kid. It's up there with like Noah's Ark, maybe Daniel and the Lion's Den. It's way up there for me. And so this past week, I was trying to remember when I first learned this story. And I might have been in Sunday school at First Christian Church in North Kansas City when I first learned this. It may have been in like the upstairs Sunday school classroom that was reserved for us school age kids. I think I watched it on this old school reel to reel film that actually had real film up there on the wall and the projector. I may have learned it in Sunday school from one of those old school felt boards. Like, remember those? Like the teacher would tell the story and there was felt characters and they would tell the story and they would put the felt up on the felt board and it would magically stick there while the story was being told. We'd gather around and sit crisscross applesauce and we would sit and listen. It was great in those 1985 type days. But it might not have even been there that I learned David and Goliath. I mean, this story is everywhere. It's all over pop culture, right? I mean, with the Olympics coming up next month, I guarantee that we will hear reference upon reference of David from some underdog small country taking down the expected usual winners, taking down Goliath. I mean, it's almost like the 1980 Miracle on Ice USA hockey team that was made up of amateur college athletes who took down the mighty and undefeated professionals from the Soviet Union. Hearing their story, watching it all playing out, cheering for the underdog gets us fired up and excited. Now, as a little side note, our family watched the movie Miracle not that long ago. That's all about that 1980 USA Olympic men's hockey team. And I've seen this movie before. I know what happens. I was alive when it happened. I wasn't that old, but I was alive. And so I know that the USA is going to beat the Soviets. I know we're going to win the games. I know we're going to get the whole gold medal. I know what's going to happen. But in watching this movie again not that long ago and cheering for the underdog, rooting for David to take down Goliath on the hockey rink whenever we were watching it together, and Al Michaels was counting down the seconds, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and he says, "Do you believe in miracles?" Yes. Like some buffoon sitting in my lazy boy, when it all happens, I'm like crying with tears streaming down my face. I wanted to stand up and said, "Yes, Al Michaels, I do believe in miracles. USA, USA." I'm crying there in my chair. I mean, David and Goliath is like that. The story's everywhere. The little guy beating the big guy, the underdog, the underprivileged, the down and out coming out of nowhere to win. I mean, this story gets us in all the feels and it makes us excited. It's so good. I mean, can't you just picture it? I mean, everybody else in the army wants no part of Goliath. He was huge. In fact, one study this past week that Pastor Brooke was reading said that, I mean, he may have been up to like 9 feet tall. He was enormous. And everyone else was so afraid that when he stepped to the front of the Philistine army line, everybody else dropped their weapons except for David. He's like, "Here I am. I'm ready to go." And so you can picture Saul, the leader of the army, looking around. He's like, "You got to be kidding me, right? I mean, surely you're joking."
And so in trying to keep the young boy from being killed, he outfits him in his armor with the helmet and the shield and the knee protectors and the chest protectors and the staff and the shield and the spear. And it's almost like our kids, whenever they were like 5 years old, walking around the house in our adult size clothes. Their pants are falling down. They can't get their hands to the ends of the sleeves. You can't see their eyes because your hat's too big. I mean, it's not going to work. I mean, they're going to break their face walking around the house. But we heard and we know that David ditches the armor and says, I'm ready to go as is. He grabs a staff, grabs a sling, gets 5 smooth stones from the Wadi Creek bed, walks up to Goliath who laughs at him and is like, am I some kind of dog that you come at me with sticks? But with just one shot, right? One shot to the forehead, down goes the mighty Philistine. The mighty Goliath is toast. In the background, in the Bible, at least in my mind, I can hear Al Michaels from ABC saying, do you believe in miracles? I mean, here it is right there. We love a good underdog story. It's one of these that the Bible doesn't even need pictures because we can picture it so in our mind. It's all over the place. But for me, at least, the amazing thing about this story is not only do we see it in the Bible and in pop culture, but we can see this story firsthand in our own life. I mean, I don't know what it is for you, but I'm willing to bet that we all have some kind of Goliath that we have faced in life, or maybe we're even facing it right now. Maybe it's something at work or at home that simply seems unsurmountable, that you're not quite sure what to do about it or how to even handle it. Maybe it's a conversation that you don't want to have, but you know that you have to have. Maybe it's a situation that you don't want to face because it seems like it's 9 feet tall. And there's no way to get past it, no way to kind of bypass it, around it. It simply will not move. Maybe the Goliath in our life is outside bearing down on us, and it feels like we are wearing Saul's armor, and everything we have is too big and heavy, and it's not going to work, and it's weighing us down. Maybe it's out there for us on the outside facing us. But maybe it's also on the inside, nagging at us from the inside out for far too long, and we can't seem to shake it. I mean, we all have those things that we're trying to work through in life. Like, I don't know if you've seen that new Disney movie, Inside Out 2. It follows the emotions of this little girl named Riley. In the first movie, young Riley has certain kinds of emotions as she's growing up. She's got joy and she's got fear and sadness and anger, among other emotions in her life. And all these emotions are inside of her just like they're inside of us. But maybe you've seen the trailer for Inside Out 2, and in this new movie, Riley is now a teenager. And so in this, there are now a whole bunch of new emotions that have come to live inside of her. A bunch of new emotions, including anxiety. And so maybe the Goliath amount of army that's facing down us is anxiety inside of us. I mean, maybe it's from expectations that we place upon ourselves or that we think others place upon us. Maybe it's guilt that we've been carrying around for years. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's doubts that we're not yet ready to face and let go of. I mean, I don't know what it is for you and for me, but we all have those things. And so whenever we face this Goliath, we may think that we have to put on Saul's armor because that's worked for everybody else. I mean, it's what everybody else is doing, and it seems to work just fine for them. I mean, Saul was trying to keep David from being killed, and it was good advice to have the helmet and the shield and the spear and chest protector. It seemed like it might work. Saul's intentions were only good, but it turns out that David needed to find what was good and authentic and true for him. He didn't need to be or find anyone else. Only him. And so for him, as Goliath was laughing at him, David says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you trusting in God's love with the confidence and faith of God inside of me. And even though that did not seem like it was enough to face that huge Philistine Goliath, It was more than enough. And for me, I think that's it for us. We come in life. We come to worship with all kinds of doubts and struggles and all kinds of giants that we face. But we cannot forget that we come also with God's love, blessing, and baked upon our life. And we come knowing that what's worked for everybody else may not work for us. I mean, David had those five stones and the sling. And it was good enough. So someplace deep inside of our heart, God is like, don't you believe in miracles when you face Goliath? And we put our hope and trust and life in the hands of God. We do so in the name of a living one. And it's enough. Amen.